CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Look at Pumi putting up all that false energy. Look at Pums, she's full of it. She told me in uncertain terms this morning. She is she's out of Christmas spirit. She's exhausted. The year has been tough, and she's had enough. And I don't blame her. And yet, she comes on here this morning with her arms up and her energy out there.
It's the song.
You're amazing.
It's the song. When the song comes on.
Give yourself some credit. It's you. It's not the song. It's got nothing to do with the music. It's you. You're pulling it out of somewhere.
Again in Joburg, we wake up this morning and there's just like
rain.
Mist and rain.
I know.
What the hell?
I know. It's enough already. So are you really exhausted? Because where do you find these reserves of energy to like wake up and join us this morning? Because I know a lot of people who are feeling exactly like you're feeling, like just done. 2021 is finished. We're fucking sick of this year. Enough already. Get out of here.
A deep-seated and stoic sense of duty.
Well, thank God.
Professional.
Yeah, professional.
Stoic sense of duty.
Well, people love you, so thanks for being here.
I love being here, though.
Hey, Bulelo, there's a present for you and for Pumi in my office from one of our listeners.
What?
Yeah. There's a nice...
What?
Bulelo, go and get yours and get Pumi's just so you can show her and then she can collect it when she comes by the office. There's one for you. There's all one right. for me. One for Lebang. Simpiwe got hers yesterday. Go and get the presents from my desk. They're on
this
my desk.
Is,
go and have a look.
Do you see how rewarding it can be to get over yourself?
I know.
To get That's over great. Yourself and just show up.
So yeah, this beautiful big box arrived yesterday. Here's the note. In fact, let me wait for Bulelo before I get to that.
Yes.
So I made a terrible mistake yesterday of joining one of my friends and his brother. We went for dinner, had some Indian food, and then we ended up going out for drinks afterwards. And I ended up getting home at 10:30, 11:30, which I know sounds like nothing. But remember, we've got curfews on.
No, it... Oh, still? Really?
Well, I mean, like, people are sort of observing curfews. And I got back... listen, we had a lot to drink. It was a good night. I'm thinking it's the week before Christmas. This is crazy. Yeah. Have you got yours?
That is a real gift.
I know, it's beautiful.
That's outrageous.
Right? That's yours, right?
Yeah, look at the effort in this thing.
So, Pums,
that is outrageously amazing.
I know,
thank you.
Yours is as beautifully wrapped as Bulelo's. And it's from someone called Nikki. So let me read this while you're unwrapping that. Dear Cliff Central team.
Oh, Nikki, you're amazing.
So she says, similar to a lot of your listeners, I'm self-employed and a business owner. 10 years ago, I opened a small gift shop in Durban North. Today, I have a small chain of 10 stores. I have 8 in KwaZulu-Natal, and I have 2 of them in Gauteng. As you can imagine, this lot, combined with raising 2 teenage sons, sometimes makes a stressful life, so your shows keep me sane, grounded, and informed. You guys are my daily companions when I get ready in the morning. I drive around in my car, and I take evening dog walks with my dogs. The boys really enjoy Blind History, and we listen to the longer trips. My eldest especially has a huge passion for history and loves all things military and Roman. Since you've blessed and enriched my life with your talents and gifts, it seemed right to return the favor this Christmas. Unlike Mbulelo, gifting is very much my love language, and like Gareth, I love Christmas and the magic of it. Wishing you and yours a very happy one. So she sent presents for you, me, for Lebang, for Simpiwe,
for
Leanne. Yeah, it's very
sweet. What's the name of the store? I still have one more gift to
get. So what do you got there, Mbulelo? What's
Is
your present?
The one in Joburg.
I'll tell you in a second. So what's that?
So this is the classic Avapod. What an appropriate gift.
Awesome.
This is awesome.
So you can store your Ava in there.
I eat an Ava like a day, by the way, if not
two. It's amazing.
So that's awesome. And then... Now, this might not seem very useful to most people, but this is something called a buff.
Yeah. Right.
And in what I do, that like running and exercise, this thing's it's a sweatband, headband, armband. You can have it here. You can put ice in it, actually. So when we do like 100 milers and stuff, what I do is I fold a buff like this.
Yeah.
And if it's like like when I did Addo, it was like 50 degrees Celsius, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you put ice in here, and you can have it also as like an ice chain as well. So this is, wow, this is freaking awesome.
That is absolutely amazing, because, you know, gifts are also my love language.
Mm.
And which is why I'm devastated that I feel the way I do, because I have waited till the absolute last moment. I'm just now like running around like a headless chicken getting gifts. And yeah, I need to know the name of the store. I have one more gift.
So she sent me a calendar as well, which says good fortune is what happens when opportunity meets planning. And it's a 2022 monthly planner. I've also got a present, which I haven't opened yet. But her store is called Nikki's, Nikkis.co.za. Nikkis.co.za. You see that there? Nikkis.
That's amazing, Nikki. Amazing.
I'm going to get my present just now, but that's Nikki's store. And there are 10 of them in South Africa. So well done to her, by the way.
People are so thoughtful.
Incredible.
I know. They really are. Do you guys want to talk among yourselves while I go and fetch my gift so I can open it as well?
Sure.
Okay, let me go and get that quickly. Give me a second. Give me a second.
So Nikki wrote a letter here. She says, Chief, which I like. Chief, thanks for keeping it real. Our favorite sidekick on the show, despite the lack of appreciation for gifts. Well, this is awesome. And this is awesome. It's so thoughtful.
How are you like grinching this week?
What do you mean?
Grinchiest thing about, what are you hating on this week?
Oh, no, I don't.
Christmas.
No, we had Nico, Yaku on, and we were talking about how no one's getting gifts this year. We're the gift, but this is awesome. This is so thoughtful.
Oh, so you do hang out with family and stuff on Christmas?
Oh, not this year. My family's around the world, so unfortunately not this year. But I'm cool. Okay. I don't really celebrate Christmas.
You don't?
You know, no, I'm not a Jesus guy.
Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed that Sam Bulela wasn't the Grinch on the show?
No, but like I'll spend time with some friends and things that are in town. My favorite thing is spending time with people I love. That is my favorite thing in the world.
Then you're not such a Grinch after all.
Gives me that joy.
Okay, beautiful wrapping, ribbons and stuff. Okay, dun da 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 da. Here we go. All right, we've got a mug. Here with Africa on it, which I love.
With Africa.
How nice is that? And a love thing at the bottom, a little heart.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. A little bow tie, a sequin bow tie, which I'm sure I can find a way to wear that this Christmas. There's a collar for Carl with ho, ho, ho written on it. There's a lot of stuff in here, man. There's a lot. Here's a back scratcher. You know, we're going to open up the back scratching bars eventually. So Nikki's really been listening.
Wait, is that a thing? I didn't even realize that was a thing.
It is an absolute thing.
And this is amazing.
It is an absolute thing.
Yeah, of course. And this is the fartinator, which is there to disperse the smell of terrible farts. So all extremely useful presents. This is great. Thank you. Thank you, Nikki.
You see how awesome she is? She like absolutely knows everybody.
Damn right.
Knows exactly. This
what an
is
awesome
the,
gift.
The perfect gift giver. The perfect gift giver. Like,
well, that's why she's got a gift
what
store.
What would this person like? What would this person
love it.
Like?
I love it. I love it. I love it. So thank you, Nikki.
What I love even more
I can't wait,
is Nikki opening up stores in lockdown.
I know. And I can't wait for Pumi to get
her
gift as well. No, it's phenomenal. You know, you can't.
I'm going to put it on. Okay. I'm going to get it today. Okay. And then I'm going to put it on my Instagram.
Great.
I haven't put anything up on Instagram because I've been so like washed out with the rain.
Yeah. Listen.
No, Sama. No, nothing. It's hard to be happy when it's like this.
That's Asibe Happy. That's Simpiwe's contribution to the last week of shows this week. She said it the other day. She's listening to a song called Asibe Happy, and she's like, that's the theme for the show.
It's a lovely song.
And it's gorgeous.
Where's the Spotify list? Where's the Spotify list?
Oh, did you send yours? Did you send yours?
Of course I did.
Okay, what's on yours?
I absolutely did.
What's on yours, Pums?
So I've got three Mapiano songs, right?
Mm.
Gautembel.
Mm. No, good. Go on.
Love it. Kuza Gogo is on my list, which absolutely love. And then One of my all-time favorites is Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Mr. Hudson, Forever Young.
Oh, that's nice. I know that song.
Yeah, my rhythm, my piano, I've got the my piano. So when you're listening to the Spotify list, when you're listening to the Spotify list from Cliff Central, you must know that all the my piano vibe, all the yanos on there.
Nice. What did you send Simpiwe for your playlist? By the way, you can find these on cliffcentral.com. Simpiwe's gone and uploaded them, so you can find all of our playlists. And if you're doing a road trip or you're going away for the holidays, this is the stuff you can listen to. Well, we're not live, you know, because we're taking off from tomorrow. So what's yours?
Nick's gift shop is in Victory Park, says Michelle.
Oh, nice. Okay. Very good.
It's just down the road.
That's very good. Okay, so Nikki's gift shop is that's who sent us these gifts. And as Bolelo said, she's opened these 10 stores across the country, 2 of them in Gauteng and 8 of them in KZN. Well bloody done, Nikki. That's amazing.
I can already tell I'd love Nikki as a person. So forget that, because in lockdown, everyone's gone into let me curl up. She's saying, I don't care what anyone says. I'm moving on. You know what I mean? Love Nikki for that.
What are your songs, Mbulelo? What do you got?
Oh, well, I nearly tried to shut down our channel by one of the songs playing. So a big part of my life is... Sorry, I was just trying to look it up. I don't think people would know this guy, but he's one of my favorite UK rappers, a guy called Devlin. So that's called 50 Grand. I sent...
I know him.
I can't remember. I must have sent something with Dizzy Rascal and something I...
Well, oh, Dizzy Rascal. Do you like Dizzy Rascal?
Dizzy Rascal.
Oh, you like Dizzy Rascal, mate. Okay.
I eat in Masha. And then one of my favorite acts of all time is something called The Streets, which if you're not from, I guess, the noughties, you might not have picked up on, because they weren't massive globally, but they did incredible things in Europe. And when I was living there, they were starting to blow up from Birmingham. So I sent a street song, and then one or two other Brit, because I love indie from like the 90s as well. Yeah,
right. Britpop.
No, I don't like
Britpop.
No Britpop.
No. Pums, you're talking, you're showing your age here. You and I, the Britpop was something that we dealt with in the 90s. Like when Bolelo and Simpiwe were just, thoughts in their parents' minds. Yeah.
Twinkle in your father's eye.
Having said that, I do like one of my favorite bands of all time, and I listen to their stuff all the time, is The Smiths. So I do like Brit indie from then.
My favorite Smiths song is Girlfriend in a Coma, which is hilarious. It's a funny song. Girlfriend in a coma, I know, it's serious. Beautiful. All right, so I put in... Okay, so I took a couple of songs that are big at the moment that I like, and then I took some older ones as well. So I took S House's Love Tonight, All I Need Is Your Love Tonight, which you've probably heard a million times. Then I chose Elton John and Dua Lipa's Cold Heart, because it's like a nice holiday song. You know, that's very cool at the moment as well.
Nice.
Filv and Edmofo, which is like a French collaboration, and they've done a song called Clandestina, which is actually very cool. And then I put in Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky for some old school, When I die they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. Love it.
And so the Spotify playlist is coming, y'all.
Yeah. Simpiwe says it's coming. She says, that Spotify playlist is coming soon. So yeah, Simpiwe, come. Let's do it. Let's get it up there.
Hey, Small Town Boy, by the way, Gareth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So sorry for me. Small Town Boy, Bronski Beat. That's my one. It's top 3 favorites.
Bronski Beat, huh? Yeah. Look at you.
All time.
Joe.
All time.
Would never have put you down for a Bronski Beat or a Dizzy Rascal fan.
Oh, big time. Big time.
They say that you can figure out more from somebody's playlist than almost anything about their personality. So I wonder what that tells us about you, Mulalo.
Yeah. Well.
Cabello asks the right question here. How come Notorious B.I.G. is not in your list?
Where's
Ah, listen, Cabello.
Notorious.
Oh, my God. I could listen to that. I do listen to that stuff. Almost every single week there's a Notorious B.I.G. Juicy or... you know, I promise. Hypnotize, pretty much all the albums. I've got all of them. I could get them for you. I mean, I've still got them on CD. That's how ridiculously old school I am. Notorious B.I.G. You could bring any rapper back from the dead, it would be him for me, without a moment's doubt. Jesus, that guy is talented. Biggie. Mm. Oh my God, yes. Don't even give me Tupac. Don't give me any of those people. Just like bring a Notorious B.I.G. Love that man. Love that man. I can still do every lyric in like 12 of his songs.
That image of you doing that. What were you singing? It's still seared in my mind. I was like, what was this guy? What was this Vid Boy from Pretoria?
I know. I was so into it. I still am. I still love Notorious B.I.G., but the problem is he's not making any more stuff because he's dead. So I know what I know. You know? What can you do? I love it.
That is actually one of the best things ever. The fact that there is no one releasing posthumous like B.I.G. stuff.
Oh, no.
I hated when that happens.
You want to see something really embarrassing? Mapelo says, for some reason, Taylor Swift is the most listened to artist on my Spotify. OMG, that's embarrassing. Jesus Christ, Mapelo. Go and jump off a building. Taylor Swift. Ugh. Oh, my God, that's horrible. So I haven't looked at my most listened to, but I don't. So I usually listen on Apple Music, not on Spotify, even though Spotify is better in so many ways. And, you know, they compile these playlists for you. They've like create a radio station for you or whatever. And mine is such an eclectic mix. I mean, it goes from classical stuff to rap to dance music to pop to whatever. I mean, it's, you know, I've got the whole gamut in there. It's incredible. I love it. And then they always give you this at the end of the year when you're in that mood. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Robin Badger. Say hey. Wow, girl.
What does Robin say? Baby, I got your money. Oh, yeah. That's Dirty Old Bastard. That's not Notorious B.I.G. Hey, dirty, I got your money, said you want it. I said, hey, that's Dirty Old Bastard. It's not Notorious.
No. I have been listening over the past couple of weeks to a lot of South African jazz. Lots of Sipho Gumede on my playlist.
Look at you. You're so cultured.
Yeah, man. People old like that. Properly, like. Deep old. So lots of Sipho Gumede. I've been loving that in my most played, most recently listened to. That's the kind of stuff that, because I've been at the office, y'all, so you need something that like keeps you going.
So Pums,
not too much excitement. So none of the Amapiano in the office.
Are you taking some time off now? I mean, are you off from today?
I am.
Okay. Thank God.
I am off from this afternoon. Because tomorrow is the last day of like shopping, presents, wrapping, all of that. And I'm going to be making trifle to bring to the Christmas lunch.
That sounds good.
So I'm going to be starting to assemble that.
I don't know if you've been listening to the show over the last couple of days, Pums, but pretty much Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we just talked about food nonstop.
Food.
Simpiwe yesterday was telling us all about how she's not on cooking duty this year, but her cooking is phenomenal. She tells us it's better than anyone. And she is... No, that's what she said. She pretty much compared herself yesterday to the great TV chefs.
Nigella Lawson.
And she's like, they got nothing on me because my family know... I know what they want and I can deliver. So she's got a lot to live up to over there. I think actually what we should do is we should tell Simpiwe after Christmas when we start the show up again that she's got to bring us some of this fancy cooking and we can judge for ourselves. Don't you think?
Agreed. And I will give feedback.
we don't doubt that for a second.
Not for a minute. Not for a minute do we doubt you, Mbulelo.
Guys, we've got a couple of things coming up on the show this morning that I'm excited about. We're going to check in with Chantal Lascaris. Now, you may remember... We spoke to her about all sorts
of food.
I know, all sorts of salads, healthy dishes, one dish wonders, tapas. So we're going to speak to her this morning about what we can eat over the holidays. And she's got a brand new book out, which we, if you're going to buy someone, for example, my sister-in-law, she loves to make amazing food. And Chantel's books are just such a hit with her. So I know if I buy one of Chantel's books for her, she's going to love her Christmas present. So I kill two birds with one stone. I, first of all, get to expand my own knowledge of food, because then my sister-in-law will make the stuff that's in Chantel's book. And second of all, she gets a present that she loves. And it's all very imaginative. It's really cool. It's really healthy. It's lovely to make. It's easy to do. And we'll speak to her about her book. And then we've got the final Burning Platform of the year, where we will be reunited with Canthan Pillay this morning. And we're going to be joined by Solly Mueng, who's well known to people on the show as well. He's the founder, of course, of Don Valley Reputation Managers, as well as a freelance writer and a columnist. So we're going to have lots to talk to Solly and to Canthan and to Pumi about in the Burning Platform today. And we'll recap the year, really, because there's quite a lot to still get into.
It's been a big year.
Big. B-I, big. Notorious B-I-G year. That's what it's
big.
Been.
Big.
Zach says, my wife and kids are at my in-laws. My playlist went back to my favorites. Bush. Listen to what Zach listens to. Bush, Oasis, Korn, Faithless, Pearl Jam, Smashing. Oh, my God. Smashing Pumpkins. Sigur Rós and Classic Symphony when I need to work and concentrate. Zach, you see, you are the black version of me in that I listen to rap, you listen to rock and alternative stuff like Bush. Oh my
God.
Yeah,
that's like 90s.
Yes, that's hectic.
I mean, Oasis.
This is 90s.
Oasis is all time. I believe they may be the band of all time. But crikey, Faithless, Pearl Jam, yeah. Smashing Pumpkins, eh?
Yes, it's Faithless. Faithless, you can't really put that in the alternative and rock category. Let's be fair. Faithless is like classic dance music, right?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
All time. And classic symphony, speaking of that. I mean, that's incredible. So, Zach, good for you, man. You know, you these days, of course, you can have a private music experience thanks to earphones and headphones anytime. But it's always nice when you can turn it up loud in your house and have a go. And you dance around while you're getting ready for Christmas and all that stuff. So I hope that's what you're doing, dude. Robin says...
Loud music.
Robin says, I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop. Mm-hmm. That's Biggie. That is. That is correct. Very good. Although I think that's Biggie and P. Diddy, to be fair.
That is Biggie and P. Diddy.
Yes. Gareth Pumimbulelo, do you like Die Antwoord, says a different Robin, Red Robin. Is there actually a strong Zef culture in South Africa, or are they only playing the stereotypes? I don't like the look of Die Antwoord, but I think their music is cool. I actually think all their success is due to the fact that they are genuinely talented people. But not
the,
my
the first
not
album
my
was
thing.
Banging.
You like them?
Banging, absolutely. Went okay. to all the first album when saw them live and they're serious performers. And then, as with Adele's new album, is and I'm not against artists.
Oh, you love Adele.
Selling out,
you love Adele.
Yeah, which is why the latest album broke my heart. But because it's gone very, very pop. Like, you know, she was a soul singer. And now, and I've got no problem with Go and Get Your Money. But now you can hear she's making it for America, where all the production comes in. Yeah. And it's now like super loud, which is cool. Like, whatever. But the new Adele album and anything after their first album for the Antwoord.
You don't like
it's all made by like these juggernauts. Yeah, because you can hear when it's made for radio now. You know what I mean? It gets that pop sound. Yeah, which Adele's new album 30 does. But you know, for those who like Adele, do not expect the same albums as you got from 19 and 21. It's not. It's a completely different sound. So. Same with the Antwoord.
Buzzer says, Bulelo. That's you, obviously, Bulelo. Finally changed from wearing the. A grade 12 pregnant girl jacket.
Oh my God. Is that the bomber jacket?
That's the bomber jacket.
Oh my God. And you know what? That's actually such a great description of it. I think he's talking about, because I usually wear that black bomber jacket.
That's a trail one.
You can't really see. I could be a fat guy. I could be, you know, I could be Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 80s.
Right.
Or Schwarzenegger, for those of you who know.
The staring.
Staring.
All right. So lots of comments coming through. Lots of people who've got their favorite Christmas songs. We just yesterday revealed, surprise, surprise, Mariah Carey in the headlines is thrilled and delighted that she's broken yet another Billboard record by having her song go to number one for the third separate time in a row. And remember, that song came out in 1994.
Same song.
Same song, yo. Amazing.
Same song.
All right, so a couple of headlines for this morning since we're at half past. Let's just look at what's going on in the news. We've got to pay attention to this. Maureen Lipman, you know who that is? She says cancel culture could wipe out comedy. By the way, Elon Musk had some things to say about cancel culture yesterday. Maureen Lipman, of course, is Dame Maureen Lipman. She said comedy is being wiped out due to fears over being canceled. So people aren't funny. She told the BBC she believes comedians are now so worried about offending a revolution is taking place. It's in the balance whether we'll ever be funny again. Her comments come as more than half of Britons say they have stopped themselves from expressing political and social views for fear of being judged. More than half of Britons. So what kind of a world are we going to live in if we can't express our opinions? First of all, this show won't exist in such a world. And I could give a damn if people judge me. They've been doing that my whole life. I'm not worried about that. I know you, Pumi, and Bulelo, you guys don't care either. But do you think most people are afraid?
So I think that's actually the more telling thing, right? That people actually do care about being judged so much so that they would self-police.
Yeah. Well, that's the
more...
But I'm also reticent to allow sort of public figures to let me know about cancel culture, because in most of life, we can still talk the same to people we love and that are close to us. It's like, it's not like the Gestapo is in my house. So right. I think when it comes from celebrities, what they mean is that space is being policed. But there's platforms like this now, like Maureen, you can do new stuff. It's not 1830 now.
No, I agree. But nonetheless, that poll that they did, let me put this up on the screen so you can see what we're talking about. Here's the poll that the BBC did.
That's scary, though.
They're asking the question, like, when do you self-police? When do you censor yourself? So have a look at this quickly. Here it is. This is the poll. When have people self-censored? So almost 50% of people have self-censored with people they've only just met. Obviously, you have to be extra careful with people you've just met because you don't know what their feelings are, right? They could be some kind of raving social justice lunatic. So you have to be careful with them. 50% of people have done that. In the workplace, 40% of people self-censor. On social media, 34%. So that means every third comment or post that you see on social media is self-censored, roughly, according to this poll.
Means, that's crazy.
Means one in three are not really how people feel. That tells you a lot. 31% with friends, that's scary. And obviously the category that gets away with the most is family at 21%. What do you think of that?
But that's still a lot, Garrett. Oh, that's a fifth of the time. That means one day a week, of the weekday, you're censoring yourself with family. Hey, Pumi, that's what that lets me know.
That's right.
That's correct. That is so hectic.
Yeah.
That is so hectic.
So that's happening.
You know, especially so the friends and family one for me is quite a hectic thing. I don't know if you guys saw a couple of days ago Dineo Ranaka's meltdown.
Oh, no. What happened? Because I sent her a message the other day and I didn't get a reply. And I wondered if she was just offline for the holidays. You know, a lot of people do that.
So she had a fight with somebody whom I assume to be the boyfriend.
Okay.
Based on what was said, it's like he was like the rebound because she just got divorced or something.
Okay.
And she goes off on him, just absolutely going off. I don't know what sparked it to wait, but I don't know. But the whole time I'm watching this video, which is actually an edited video of two angles, which means two people in the group of people, because it looks like it's a braai or something, it looks like friends sitting around or whatever. I'm like, there are two people in her close circle of friends who shot a video of her having an absolute meltdown, edited it together, and then put it on social media. I was just like, What the hell? What kind of friends are these?
If friends do that to you, they shouldn't be your friends, and you should immediately, especially if you are in a position like she is, where you are a public figure. You know, if your friends sell you out like that, they're not, those are terrible people. And actually, everybody should judge them extremely harshly. She should publish their names and, like, sell them down the river now. Say, by the way, if you're looking for terrible people in your life, these are the people to refer to. Who records their friends doing embarrassing things or very private things and then puts them on the internet without their permission? Outrageous.
It is a very it is a very private thing, because she is having an utter meltdown at this guy. God. I don't know who this guy is. But then the thing was trending for 2 days.
Horrible.
And I'm just like, what kind of friends are these?
If you're the kind of friend who will turn your friendship into content for social media, you're a shithead. I have no time for you. Sorry. Outrageous.
You know who I think it was? You know when you're having a gathering at your house and somebody calls and it's like, yo, bro, I just started seeing this girl. Do you mind if I bring her? I know it's just us, but that's what happened. And now the girl turned out to be Sportola. I'm thinking, because you know when people always phone you last minute.
Yeah.
Like, I hope you guys don't mind. I know it was just for us to have supper, and then they bring the new one, and now she's like, who does this?
No,
then it can't be a friend. Or do you think it's a friend?
You must censor. I don't, dude. All I know is when I looked at that video, the fact that it changes angles, right? I was just like, so this is not one person, but two people with their cell phones.
Incredible.
Like, in the middle of
the disgusting
absolute meltdown.
It's disgusting. Put that on social media. You're a piece of shit. I'm sorry. I will, if I ever find those people, even though Dineo and I are not like close friends, we've worked together before and I've always had a great relationship with her, I feel for her in that situation. Screw those people. She should mention their names, she should sell them out, and they should know that they are absolute trash to have created this nonsense for her just before Christmas, you filth. You know,
speaking of trash, I tried to find out who the Sun Times writer was yesterday. They've done their best by cloaking it.
Of course.
So I looked on every option. Is they just say written by the Sunday Times. I did try and look for who that liar was. Oh, there was a liar. Yeah. Also, it just says written for the Sunday Times.
Because,
it doesn't even say
stuff. To bring Pumi in on this, the Sunday Times, I don't mind being one of their nominations for Mampara of the Year. It just shows how relevant I can be if I decide to press a button. But they said Gareth Cliff has been fired by almost every person who's employed him. Now, first of all, I haven't been employed by anyone for the last 8 years because I've been self-employed, but I've never been fired from a job. The only job I've ever been fired from wasn't even a job. It was while I was at Varsity Radio on campus. And let me tell you something, that is the only way you get noticed on campus radio. And I'll take that firing and I'll wear it on my sleeve as a moment of pride, because I know that after that I was unafraid. If you get fired in your first job ever, which is that one, and I didn't even get a cent for it, it wasn't like I was dependent on it, that was my learning curve. And I'm very proud of being fired on campus radio. I did it for all the right reasons, and I knew what I was doing. So name another time I've been fired, Sunday Times. Name one. There isn't one. I defy you to find one. For anything. Even so much as an MC job, which I've never been fired from. Not even one. Bring it on. Bring me one example, stupid Sunday Times. Anyway, I just get annoyed because it's like they call themselves journalists, you know? And if you're going to print stuff, make sure it's true. Name one time I've been fired. I dare you. Anyway, other stuff. Let's look at other headlines, because there's a lot going on at the moment. So this guy was caught doing 207 kilometers an hour on the N1 between Joburg and Pretoria and Midrand. In a BMW, obviously. Right, obviously. He was 26 years old, silver BMW, 207 kilometers an hour on the N1 freeway in Midrand, 11th of December of this year. The driver.
Wait, what time?
He could not provide any reason for speeding or show any signs of remorse for having endangered the life of other road users, said Gauteng Traffic Police spokesperson Selo Maremane. He was detained at Midrand SAPS. And I don't know what time it was, Pums. They don't give the time. But they arrested 18 people for driving at excessive speeds on Gauteng's roads. The speedsters were arrested for reckless and negligent driving during the high-speed operations. How's that?
Sure. Maybe he left the oven on. Sometimes we never think of this. Maybe he left the oven on at home and he's a considerate person.
Well,
200.
207 kilometers an hour, yeah, on the main Blex highway. I don't know if it was a Blex. I don't know. It could have been anybody. It might have been one of those, you know, one of those dudes who buys these expensive cars from those shops that we all drive past and we don't get to go into. Who knows? But there are a lot of Metro Police out at the moment. A lot. Ah,
something. Can I teach you a word of Tinamaxhosa? We say, this is the time for ichocho. For those who don't know,
exactly, ichocho.
We don't say bribe. That's an ugly term. Imale kisimusi if you're Zulu, but amaxhosa ati ichocho. Yeah, you need to have that just sitting in the middle there as you drive now, because they're out here. George.
Or just do the right thing.
Yeah.
And not go 207Ks.
Correct.
Yeah, or just do the right thing. Like, but if you just do the right thing.
But the Metro Police will pull you over for any reason. They'll say, your back tail light, it wasn't working properly. And you get out of the car and you see that it is working properly. And they're like, but come on, you know. My family have to eat this Christmas, blah, blah, blah. Bulala's not wrong.
Plan for the best, expect the worst.
Exactly.
We live in Mzansi. Let's be realistic.
Exactly. So this is interesting. Freedom Fighter says the PCR test will be discontinued from January due to it only having a 7% accuracy. But it's accurate enough, obviously, to have put the world in this shit show. What the hell, says Freedom Fighter. Yeah, you know what?
One is the PCR? Is that the one that
correct
goes up your nose?
Yep. And they've discovered it's 7% accurate. So a lot of people, imagine you got to the airport and they tested you and it was a false positive and you couldn't fly and you had to pay an extra 10 or 12,000 rand for a ticket the next day or in 10 days time after you'd quarantined. Because that happened to people I know. On these inaccurate tests.
Someone was tweeting about their experience in Kenya. So they took a PCR test here in Joburg before they left. Mm-hmm. And when they landed in Kenya, they took all the people, the flight that they were on had two stops, before arriving in Kenya. And then they took all the South Africans aside. And all the South Africans had to get retested. And then... They were, she and her mom, I think, their test was positive, and then they were like
quarantined
at like $1,000 a day, something ridiculous. But she was just tweeting about it and it sounded horrendous.
But I've got a question. You know how expensive holidays are, like these kinds of holidays?
Yes.
Is if you get to the airport and you test negative and your girlfriend tests positive, what do you do? Do you go back with her or do you just go on the holiday and I'll see you there? It's a tricky one. I wouldn't know what to do. It's so expensive. I've already paid. I've already put in leave.
Yeah. And then you find out that these tests are 7% accurate. I would be furious. I would be absolutely furious. Anyway, I mean, do not go for a test unless you're symptomatic. That's number one. You know, why would you do a test if you're not symptomatic? All these people doing tests for no reason. It's ridiculous. Anyway. All right.
What are the Yentas meant to talk about?
I know. What else are you going to say? What else are you going to talk about? Yeah,
I went for a test. Honestly, I was walking. I got a little bit of a sniffle. I wasn't sure, but I just... My favorite is when these, you know, the restaurant Yenta types start to praise themselves. They do this one here.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't go for myself.
I went for everyone else.
I went for everyone else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you're such
like
a
Dolores.
Hero.
Really, Dolores. Yeah.
You're such a
Dolores
hero.
Dolores, is this what we're doing?
Thanks for helping the rest of us who never asked for your help in the first place or cared that we were going to get COVID from you.
Like, what are people like, you know? Right. What are people like?
I did it for the rest of the community. That's why I did it. Oh, you're such a hero. Thank God. You know, we needed you on the beaches of Normandy in 1945. Yeah, that's what we needed, 44. We were waiting for you. The whole world's been waiting for you, Dolores. You and your self-sacrifice. You. It's on the cross. There's Jesus, and right next to him is you, Dolores. Well done. Unbelievable. Anyway, so many things to talk about this morning, but I want to get to one of my favorite things. It has been a Christmas present for me almost every year for the last 3 or 4 years for my sister-in-law, because she loves making amazing food. And if there's anyone in this country who has made a huge splash with her books, it is Chantal Lascaris. She joins us this morning. She's the author of the highly successful All Sorts Of series, All Sorts Of Salads, All Sorts Of Healthy Dishes, All Sorts Of One Dish Wonders, and All Sorts Of Tuppers. She claims not to be a chef, but rather a home cook who's always been interested in health and nutrition. Well, if you claim not to be a chef, then nobody else has any right to claim that either, Chantal. How are you?
I'm good, Gareth. Lovely to see you again.
Nice to see you. And Pumi and Bulelo and I are all interested. We've been talking about food all week. It must be because Christmas is just around the corner. But it's great to see you. You recently wrote an article where you compiled 5 helpful and delicious suggestions to keep in mind when it comes to eating your way to improved mental and physical well-being. So I think this is really interesting. I read the article. So what are these 5 things that you need to remember?
Well, I think firstly, what you've got to remember is that what you put into your body has a profound effect on how you feel, how you look,
sure,
what your skin's going to do, what your emotions are going to do. So if you think of a car, you're not going to put lousy petrol into your car because your car is going to go sluggish, or it's going to stall,
right,
or it's just not going to perform properly. So why take that philosophy and do the same for your body. So things that I recommend are things like eating raw vegetables as much as possible. Eat mm-hmm. your fruit, obviously fruit normally fresh, we normally do that, but your veggies, eat them raw. Things like eating nuts and grains are very important. That sort of thing. Just bring in herbs and spices. They work really well to sort of zhuzh up a salad or zhuzh up your meal. Makes it a little less bland. So bring those kind of things into it. You know, things like coriander are supposed to actually help with, well, sort of have anti-inflammatory properties. So even though you love the taste of it, you're still getting great nutrients, and that's a great benefit to your body.
That is one of the things I like about all of your books, is that there's a bit of a health bent in all of them. And apart from being really, really cool and tasting really fantastic, the stuff, you don't have to feel guilty about it, right? That's important, because people have such a love-hate relationship with food, that especially over the holidays, people go and they overindulge, and then the week after Christmas, they're like filled with guilt. Oh my God, I ate so much. I shouldn't have eaten that. I shouldn't have overdone this. And you don't want to feel like that. You can find ways to balance it. So I'm interested with your household for Christmas and for, you know, the upcoming festive season. What are you put in charge in the kitchen? Like, how does it work in your household?
Yes, I am sort of the person in charge of the kitchen. Everyone's got their little duties.
Right.
And especially at the moment, because the whole house is in quarantine. We've all got Omicron.
Oh, so, oh no.
So we're going to have a slightly different Christmas this year, because it's going to be only us in the house. The rest of them have all been banned.
Oh no.
So, but yeah, very much, you know, keeping it healthy. To a certain degree, you've got to have your roasted potatoes and your gravy and your, you know, your stuffing, because everybody loves a traditional Christmas in this house.
Right.
But then we sort of temper that with some, like, a really great dish of vegetarian things, or a lovely big salad. So you're still getting in a little bit of the healthy stuff. So you're balancing the sort of the good with the bad. And then you don't have to carry that guilt with you. And you know what? You've got the whole of the year next year to sort of eat a little healthier if you want to. But, you know, for me, it's also important, if you do have a special occasion, enjoy it.
Sure.
Because that's also really good. Because if you go and say, oh, I can't have this and I can't have that, you're not going to enjoy it. And Christmas and this sort of time is all about having fun with each other and spending time with people you haven't seen for a while. So, you know, just put a little bit of healthy in and don't worry too much about the rest.
So tell us about your new book.
Okay. So I released another book, which is actually not part of the All Sorts series. My first book that I did was All Sorts of Salads.
Yes.
And it's still hugely popular. So I thought, well, maybe it's time to write another salad book. Especially living in South Africa, we've got the best climate, although if I look outside my window, it's looking a bit gloomy at the moment.
Yeah, here too.
I think summer ran away. It was scared of COVID or something, really. But anyway, so for me, it's about eating fresh and healthy. So I thought it would be great to launch another book called The Ultimate Salad Book.
Nice.
So this one's a little bigger than the last one. It's an A4, it's hardcover, and it's got about 100 to 120 different salad recipes.
Phenomenal. That sounds terrific. Nice. And I mean, you know, salad is something, again, you never need to feel guilty about that. There are so many ways you can make a salad sexy and interesting. Obviously, you've thought of all of these. If I go to the fridge and I try to put a salad together, it's usually fairly rudimentary. So what are the most outrageous ideas you've come up with for salads? I'm interested.
Okay, well, one of my sort of go-to favorite salads at the moment that I'm eating, I call it the Kyoto salad, just because I think it was a fun name for it. But it's got chickpeas in it. It's got mango, edamame beans,
right,
and red onions, and some cucumber. And it is absolutely delicious, and it's perfect for these sort of summery hot days. And it's really nutritious because you've got chickpeas and edamames that carry a lot of protein in it.
Right.
So it looks great and colorful. You've got all the colors going together, and you're getting a nice dose of protein at the same time.
Sounds amazing. Love it. I love it. Bulelo, this sounds like the kind of stuff you would eat as well, right?
You know what? I mean, I hate to lean into a stereotype here, but I used to have a rule. All my friends know that I always used to say, look here, guys. Gents, you'll bring the meat, but you need to bring a white girl to bring the salads, because I grew up in a rural black family. And for us, salad can be just beetroot, whatever. White girls bringing the strawberries and the salad. I'm like, hey, man. So Shanta,
the mango and the red onion, hey, right? Like,
yeah. Mango.
That's amazing.
In a salad. I'm definitely going to try this.
Sounds amazing.
And you'll notice there's no lettuce in that. I wanted to start my first book by saying I hate lettuce because I don't really like it. And I thought, well, maybe that's a bit harsh to say in your first book. But you'll see that I try not to make lettuce the sort of focus of the salad, because that's what we all tend to do. You know, you put a bunch of lettuce on top
on
a plate, and then you put things on top. That's why I won't order salads in a restaurant, because that's what they do.
Exactly. They buff up the whole thing by adding a whole bunch of lettuce, right?
Correct. Yeah.
I think you do need that book that's called I Hate Lettuce, because I think you might find that there are quite a lot of people that feel that way. There are a lot of people.
Maybe that's the next one.
I hate lettuce. And when you said it, you know,
that's it. Like, struck a chord.
I felt my soul move.
That's beautiful.
Well, even if I would look, if you look at the front cover, there's a whole lot of recipe dishes around.
Here's the front cover.
And there's actually not one that's got a lettuce leaf in it. It does have baby spinach, which I often use as an alternative. There you can see it's got the baby spinach, but there's no salad that looks like it's got a lot of lettuce.
That's awesome.
So it gives you an indication of what the book's all about.
Well, what I love about your books is apart from these terrific recipes, you've also got great photographs in there, and that makes a huge difference. So, I mean, you've been very picky about what kinds of pictures you put in the book. And obviously a book about salads can be beautiful because you've got all those lovely colors.
Yeah. Exactly. And then every recipe has its own photograph.
Right.
And I think that's also very important. I know if I use a recipe book, I want to see what it's supposed to look like so that I know how to cut it or what to do, and I try and sort of mimic what they've done in the photograph. Then I know, okay, if it looks, it's vaguely similar, then I've done a good job.
Absolutely.
So photos are very important.
No, fantastic.
So, Chantal, I've got a suggestion, which must be very annoying for you as somebody who knows what you're doing, is that after you've written I Hate Salad, and obviously that's
I Hate Lettuce, not Salad.
Lettuce.
I'd like to suggest after that, for six Christmases time, once Omicron version 6 is out, I'd like to have a strategy for people for Christmas eating, because a lot of people get it wrong at Christmas. They go big plate early. We need to get a book, especially with those awesome pictures. you need to be patient throughout the day with Christmas lunch. You've got to go 3 or 4 plates deep, but it takes the discipline to not pile that first plate. And I'd like to, with your healthy recipes, help the people out there. You've got to be disciplined. I'm a 4 plates a Christmas guy.
Oh, yeah,
you're welcome at my table any day. That appreciation is impressive.
So Michael has a suggestion, and he wants you to judge his salad. All right, so Michael's Christmas salad. He says watermelon, feta, olives, fresh basil leaves, salt, black pepper, and drizzled with some raspberry vinaigrette. What do you think of that, Chantel? Yes or no? Does it get the thumbs up?
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Very good.
I've had something similar before, and it's delicious. It's really refreshing. And that contrast between the watermelon and the olives is, and the, that salty feta is superb.
Awesome.
Good one.
All right. Well, we will all
raspberry
be...
Raspberry vinaigrette.
That's a winner. Yeah. We will all be on the lookout for Chantel's new book. It's called The Ultimate Salad Book, Chantel Lascaris, and you can get that at all good bookstores. It's on Amazon as well, right?
Yes, you can get it on Take a Lot, Lutz. You know, it's available everywhere.
Fantastic. All right, Chantel, well done. And happy Christmas to you and to Reg and the rest of the family. It's always good to see you. And well done on another terrific book.
Thanks. And Merry Christmas to you all, too.
Thanks, Chantel. You. Nice to see you. Thank you so much.
There we go.
Chantel Lascaris. What a great book. What a great idea for a Christmas gift. If you're still looking for gifts, this is what you need.
Wait, Bulelo, you literally have like 2 minutes to tell us about your 4-plate strategy.
Yes.
So what going to plate 1, plate 2, plate 3, and plate 4. 2 minutes.
It starts before that. Breakfast, important. You've got to get up early because all Christmas lunches are always late. We know this. Okay.
Yeah.
So what you need to do, that first plate must be amasalad and what? Get the stomach going. Get yourself a coffee or something just to stabilize. Then you get into the meat and stuff in the second plate because then you're hungry because you've obviously had your greens and whatever. Second plate, that's meat, and that's now you're piling it on. The two last plates, desert. The two last plates is the desert. But you need to do cake first. And then the last one I always do as something that I can have a coffee or something with. And that's also piled on. But that's Boma 7 when we're rolling out kind of thing. That's my 4th plate. But that's also considerable. I do this every year. I've got a system. But the important thing, you have to wake up early to eat breakfast. You must eat breakfast. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble because your stomach shrinks. People think, oh, bro, I'll save my stomach. I'll be starving by the time. No, your stomach shrinks by the time it's time to deliver.
There we go.
You don't got the facilities, big man.
The facilities. I love this. Boza says, December is not for discipline. Asibe happy. Correct.
Asibe happy.
That's us this morning. Yebo. I love it. Bavish says, Mina, when I see the meat, it's over, guys. Pacing myself goes out of the window. Well, there we go. All right. So that's all we got time for now. We got the Burning Platform coming up next, Christmas edition, wrapping up the year with Canthan Pile, who is, of course, a returning champion. And we have our sparring partner, Soli Moeng, in this morning, too, for the Burning Platform, along with, obviously, Pumi Mashiko and you. So stick around for that. Bulelo, we'll see you for the final show tomorrow.
Trifle.
Pumi's going to go make her trifle. Exactly. That's going to be fantastic. All right. We will see you in a moment. Stick around. CliffCentral.com on this beautiful Thursday morning. CliffCentral.com.